Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Oh, Blood River Radio family, really appreciate you hanging on. It's kind of a long break, but at least we have time to go use the restroom if you have to, get some coffee if you need to. But listen, as promised, we have the Bitter Ender. He's been fighting behind enemy lines for several weeks now. And we were afraid he was captured once, but he broke loose. The only thing is, he just continues. We tried to get him to take it easy on the damn swords. So I guess he tore up two swords in his escape from the Yankees. So I guess it was worth it. But anyway, he's back. He's come back. I'm not going to tell you what he's going to do. I'm going to let him tell you, because he spent a lot of time, and he's one of the big readers on Blood River Radio. I'm the poorest reader of all. So, Bitter Ender, it's great to have you back. We really missed you big time, guy.
Well, thank you very much. I wasn't just taking off on you. We had 2 weeks ago, we set up for the Forest, or 3 weeks ago, set up for the Forest Homecoming event that we always have every year at the Nathan Bedford Forest Home there in Chapel Hill. And then two weeks ago was the actual event on the 15th. And hot day, but, you know, it was a good event. The grounds out there are all under shade trees, so it wasn't that bad. And did fairly well money-wise. And the thing I like about that event is it's just like a giant family reunion for Southern Confederates. And a lot of people come back year after year to see their friends. And you've got a row of about 17, 18 Confederate flags lined up there coming up the driveway. And, you know, people can be Southern, be proud of their Southern heritage, not be ashamed of being white. They don't have anybody talking about how they're so evil because they brought slavery over here and all the other lies and misinformation that we get thrown in our face. And it's just a really fun day, the food and drinks and music and all the things that are going on and the vendors and selling Confederate flags and books and things like that. And you don't have to apologize for being Southern. And I think we don't put that on our advertising brochures, but that's one of the things I've always noticed. And this was our 22nd year of having the homecoming event. So hopefully our listeners will mark down the calendar next year in 25. And I'm not sure what the date is, but it's always the third Saturday in June, whatever that falls on next year. So we had that. And then last weekend, on Saturday evening, we had Ross Massey's Tennessee Secession Party that he always has at his house in Nashville, and celebrates Tennessee's secession from Lincoln's Axis of Evil Empire. And so Tennessee actually had two referendums on secession. They had one in February of 1861, right after the Confederate government was formed, and voted it down. And then after the great dictator called for the state to furnish troops to invade the seven southern states and force them at gunpoint to be a part of the evil empire, six more states, including Tennessee, voted to leave the Union. So Lincoln, almost, just on his own, pretty much doubled the size of the Confederacy with that aggressive act of trying to force these people in. And that's something I always throw out at people. They say, well, you're not very patriotic toward the good old U.S. of A. And I said, well, we're here at the point of a gun. Tennessee and other states in the Southeast voted to be a part of the Confederate States of America. And the only reason we're part of the United States is our country was invaded. 280-some-odd thousand of our young men were killed in battle or died of disease and wounds. And then probably another 5,000 to 8,000 civilians were murdered by the invading army. So that's not really builds a lot of good feelings between two countries when you invade their country, take them over, and force them at gunpoint to be a part of another country that we didn't want to be a part of and voted to leave. And by leaving, the Confederate States of America was the most peaceful country that was ever formed. They just voted to leave. And we didn't stormed the Bastille. We didn't murder the Tsar and his family. Heck, we didn't even dump tea in the harbor. We just said, enough's enough. We're out of here. And that was it. But as we all know, and we've talked about before, Lincoln couldn't allow that because there went all his money to prop up the rotten government in D.C. So anyway, that's where we were. And I think we've got an interesting program for our listeners tonight. They are going to get some factual information that probably they haven't heard before. We're going to talk about the events that took place at Charlottesville, Virginia, in August of 2017. And that has been lied about in the news media. The prostitutes and the fake news media have lied about that. Even the so-called conservative stations, like Fox News, didn't get it right. They just went with the reports that they heard. They obviously didn't have any correspondence there, and they just took that secondhand information and ran with it and ran with the wrong information. So tonight, we're going to tell you exactly what happened from somebody that was not only there, but organized the event. And we're going to do a book review of a book that's just come out and written by Jason Kessler. And he was one of the organizers of Unite the Right rally at Charlottesville, Virginia, to speak up in defense of General Robert E. Lee and Thomas Stonewall Jackson statues in Charlottesville. So the whole point of the rally was to keep the statue of General Lee, a Virginian, in Virginia. And, of course, the federal government, the local government, the state government of Virginia, they could not allow people to gather in that big a group and speak up in defense of our Southern heritage, our Southern history, about our white heritage, our European heritage. That is a threat to the empire. And so it was a double cross. And Eddie, you were there, you and I and Rich and Matthew and Simon. It was a set up deal. And we're going to go into that tonight and explain how the government set that up to trap us there and then have us attacked by the criminal elements from Antifa or Antifa, or however you want to pronounce that, and the Black Lives Don't Matter to other blacks that were bussed in. And we saw the buses that brought them in there. And in Jason's book, he talks about all the different places they brought them, these thugs and criminals in, to attack us from New York, from Nashville, from Richmond, even from California. And that was just typical of what they had done all across the country. And we were pretty much sure that was going to happen, but we had the false belief that the government of Charlottesville in Virginia was going to protect us and separate the people that were coming there to speak up for General Lee and the anti-Lee, anti-white, anti-conservative thugs and criminals that were going to attack us. So that give you a rough idea of what we're going to be talking about. When you and I were at James Edwards' anniversary program for the 20th anniversary of the political cesspool, Jason Kessler was there and selling these books. And I got one and had him autograph it to me. And it says, "To a fellow combat veteran at Charlottesville." And then he signed it, Jason Kessler. So I started thumbing through it, and I said, holy cow, this thing is loaded down with pictures and gives an accurate account from the inside. This is not the lying prostitutes in the news media. This is from somebody who was there, who organized it, the reasons he organized it, the people he talked to, the mayor, the incompetent affirmative action chief of police. It was just totally retarded. And then, of course, they contrived together to turn the Antifas loose on the people there that were speaking up for General Lee. And they had no police protection at all. We were just sitting ducks. And it was a setup. We know that now. Between the mayor, who is a Jew, of course, the incompetent chief of police, who is an affirmative action appointee. He probably couldn't be a patrol Carson guard at a school crossing. But
no, he couldn't.
Because of they made him chief of police. And the governor of Virginia at that time was that Terry McAuliffe, who was part of the Clinton drug-running crime syndicate and he was in on it too. And they had state police there, they had National Guard, and all these people posted up on top of these buildings as snipers to shoot us. I'm sure they weren't going to shoot anybody in the Antifa or the Black Lives Matter. So anyway, that's what we're going to be talking about. And I thought I'm going to read some parts out of this book because Jason's an excellent writer and brings out some great points in here. He opens with the prologue and has some quotes from various people. And we'll come back to that just after we get back from the break.
I can't wait to hear that, Gene. Be right back, folks.
Treasure your liberty? Well, at LovingLiberty.net, we most certainly do. And we want to help protect your liberty, too. Become part of the family. Everyone knows that the core of any society is the family. Therefore, the government should foster and protect the integrity of its family, we the people. Won't you join us as a Loving Liberty sponsor to help us promote the principles in the 5,000-year leap? Let's restore the miracle that changed the world at LovingLiberty.net.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ had been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Dear Blood River Radio family, if you want to hear the real hard truth, just like the Bitter Ender said, me and the Bitter Ender were there. We saw what happened in Charlottesville. Just as Matt Goodman, our brothers Matt and Rich and Simon Rush, we know what the hell we know, and Jason Kessler knows what we're there. So don't listen to the stinking media. Listen to what Gene's getting ready to tell you. By God, we were there, and we know, and Jason Kessler is much more eloquent than I am, but so is Gene. Go ahead, Gene.
Yeah, this is from his book. It's called Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech. And that was exactly the whole purpose of attacking these people. The empire doesn't want people to speak out. Whether you're at a rally to support the General Robert E. Lee statue in Charlottesville, or whether you're a parent and you speak out at a school board meeting because you don't want this perversion taught to your kindergartner and first and second graders or anything like that. And the whole thing about Charlottesville has been portrayed in the media such a lie. And it was on, if you watch the clown show that was on Thursday night, and they had Bozo the Clown trying to debate against President Trump, Bozo got all confused, and he couldn't even remember what was Medicare and what was COVID. And we have, you know, in a way that was kind of pathetic to see somebody that's supposed to be a president of the United States stumbling around like that. But then he got off on a tirade against President Trump and talking about how he stood up for the individuals that were at Charlottesville. And he did. And the idiot in the White House that we have there, the stumbling, bumbling, incompetent, was talking about, well, there were torchlights parades and there were Nazi flags, and you defended it. And Trump said, no, I didn't say anything about defending the Nazi flag. I said, you know, there were good people on both sides, and it was an attack against these people. And it was. And there was a torchlight play or parade the night before, but that was it. And those had gone on since back in the days of the Vikings and you know, European countries. There's nothing unusual about that or bad about that. It's just something that you do. They even had torchlight parades in New York City for Abraham Lincoln. Now, if a torchlight parade at Charlottesville was bad, how was it? Why was it not bad for dishonest Abe Lincoln in a torchlight parade during his inauguration in New York City? So anyway, so that's yes. They never let it go. But anyway, this is from Jason Kessler's book, Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech. In his prologue, I'm just going to tell you a little bit. I'm just going to read some of this because he really gives you the information on what actually happened there. He has a few people quoted right at the first of this chapter. One of them is George Orwell. And who controls the past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. And Mark Twain, murder is forbidden in both form and fact. Free speech is granted in form, but forbidden in fact.
Wow.
And he's talking about the air was thick with the stench of tear gas and sweat. Lee Park had become a holding pen with hundreds of protesters crammed shoulder to shoulder like cattle, and I'd been assured by the city of Charlottesville police chief, Al Thomas, the affirmative action disaster, that yes. we would have use of the full park. But now we were being corralled into two small barricaded squares occupying less than half the park. The police were nowhere to be seen. Projectiles were flying overhead like artillery shells. Bags filled with urine and feces, rocks, bricks, paint, and whatever other objects the anarchist mob surrounding the park could weaponize. Outside the park, a black supremacist was screaming racial abuse. We were nothing but effing animals and inbred pieces of rounds with hit. According to the shouts of the hate-filled black man with veins protruding from his neck. Ahead of me, a tall, lanky man stumbled, wounded, through a small opening in the barricade at the entrance to the park. He had a gas mask pulled back to reveal horrible purple bruises across his face and his right eye swollen shut. To my left, alternative right, additional co-leader, Richard Spencer, was doubled over in agony from being pepper sprayed in the face. A small group of his friends were trying to offer medical assistance by pouring bottled water and milk into his burning eyes. Something had gone horribly wrong. I'd been fighting for weeks with the Charlottesville government over my permit for the event, and with the help of the American Civil Liberties Union, the ACLU, we prevailed in federal court just the night before. We all came expecting the assistance of the police to separate the protesters from the counter-protesters. My faith in the system had led everyone, myself included, into a deadly trap. The Charlottesville police finally marched into the park in a single-file line, clad in helmets, body armor, and carrying riot shields. We thought they'd finally come to bring order. A cop at the front of the line raised an electric megaphone to his lips. "This has been declared an unlawful assembly. You are ordered to disperse." Our public servants lined up their shields in a row and began to expel us from the venue into the waiting arms of the violent anarchist mob in the street below. Many of us were clubbed over the head or lathered with caustic chemical irritants. A masked black man, later identified as Corey Long, turned an aerosol spray can and a cigarette lighter into an improvised flamethrower, shooting a billowing stream out toward the crowd as they were bottlenecked through the tiny exit space between the barricades at the top of the stairs. Shortly after, the rally-goers were pushed into the crowd of Antifa, sparking a surge in violence. Hawk Newsom, president of the Black Lives Matter New York, was asked about his experience. "It needs to be talked about that I've been protesting in this movement for 6 years, and the police always form barricades between hostile groups," he said. "Today was the first time I didn't see that happen. and in that's a fact. They wanted us to fight each other. Later that day, after we'd left the park, a Dodge Challenger driven by a protester named James Fields was forced into a mob of armed counter-protesters, claiming that one of them had been killed and injuring dozens more. The police had done nothing to prevent an armed mob of leftists from marching through the streets during the state of emergency, nor had they maintained the barricades that should have prevented the car from entering the crowded street where it was surrounded by armed militants. A police helicopter would fall from the skies overhead, killing an additional two police highway patrol officers. None of these events were within my control, yet I have been blamed for them, along with hundreds of other nonviolent protesters who attended the permitted event. It was though the gates of hell had opened that afternoon in the summer of 2017 and spilled out into the streets of my hometown, Charlottesville, in a raging inferno. And that was his opening to the book, about talking about what actually happened that day. And for the people that weren't there, we can tell them how horrible it was, the heat, the humidity, the objects flying through the air, the people in our groups that were attacked, that were knocked to the ground. The police, the Virginia Highway Patrol, and the police finally got off their dead ends, but only to force us out of that park. And the park had a stone wall across the front of it by the sidewalk, and there were steps at either end of it. So if you were forced out of the park, you had to jump down off that bank about 4 feet to the sidewalk and then fight your way another two or three blocks back up the hill to get out of there and try to get back to the parking garage where we could get out of there. And that's where a lot of the violence took place. That boy that got separated from the group in a car, and these black animals were climbing all over his car with axe handles and sticks and smashing the windows and beating on the roof and the hood and the trunk. He just panicked, jammed it into reverse to get out of there. And there were no police around to help. And he hit some of the people. They claim that that girl was hit by the car. The initial coroner's report said she died of a heart attack. And that is what has been covered up. They say it was a run over or hit by the car that caused her death. And the fact remains that this gal, woman, whatever you want to call this thing, weighed in at about 400 pounds if she weighed an ounce. And in that heat and that humidity, she probably did have a heart attack and not a car injury. And, of course, all the pictures, here's how the media is so crooked. All the pictures they showed of this woman that died, they show her junior high school picture, the sweet, innocent little girl, very slim figure. But then when they showed pictures of her at the protest, I'm not kidding you, Orca the killer whale would have been outmatched with her weight right there. So, you know, this is another example of how the media lies. They just distort everything about it. And that's what has gone on with this whole event that was taking place there. So Jason goes into a lot of explanation about why they did this, and talking about what the government has done and done to us. And he's talking that censorship was ultimately ineffective, dangerous, and immoral. Censorship would stifle cultural and intellectual progress, creating a climate where the truth was withheld for fear of punishment. So this is one reason why he wanted to have something there to speak up for the truth. This is another part of the book. He said, the criticism by these blacks that throw against the whites, they say, apparently all whites have ever done was spread disease, genocide natives, enslave blacks, and Holocaust Jews. No one was grateful for anything we'd accomplished anymore. And in fact, our sins were so great, all whites would have to pay for things we hadn't done that occurred before we were even born, like slavery. And we'll go into more of this after we get back off our break.
I'm sure we're looking forward to hearing the rest of it. And I got to make a comment about the bitter ender when we come back.
protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer: Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
A dismal report concerning home ownership.
A new housing report from Harvard University found that would-be home buyers need to make more money than ever if they want to buy a home in Texas urban areas. The study also found that home prices and rents remain well above where they stood before the pandemic. The growth in Texas home prices has outpaced income growth, pricing many households out of the market. It's common for buyers to have to make at least six figures to purchase a home in major urban areas. The number of homeowners and renters who struggle to keep a roof over their head is also at an all-time high. John Scott reporting.
Amazon reviewing claims artificial intelligence startup Perplexity AI is scraping content, including from prominent news sites, without approval. A spokesman for Amazon confirms the tech giant was assessing information it had received from the news outlet Wired. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. National Hurricane Center specialist John Cangliosi says Tropical Storm Beryl, the storm that's threatening Windward Islands right now in the Eastern Caribbean, probably will not approach the United States.
The track is going to take it across portions of the Central Caribbean, and then by the middle of next week over the Western Caribbean. The official forecast shows the system staying down in the Caribbean during the next 5 days. So at this point, there's no real concern for the United States. The main message we have is just to, if you live along the Gulf Coast or in Florida, just kind of keep your eyes on hurricanes.gov and pay attention to Beryl.
In the meantime, the United States knows one thing for certain. It's a little warm around the country. Heat advisories being issued through a good part of the South and even up in the Midwest as well. Easily with 100-degree temps and in some cases 110 to 115. More on these stories, townhall.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off, you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Dear Blood River Radio fam, this has been one hell of an emotional show. You know, we did the Sailors on the first hour, and I just melted down. I'll tell you here, I heard stuff that I hadn't heard before. Even after working with the Sailors for like 3-4 years, I heard more atrocities that the government did to them I'd never even heard. And then to switch gears, come to the third hour, and see what happened to all the good people in Charlottesville that went there just to try to help save some of our Southern culture's items that we're losing. And keep in mind, again, I know we said it, but me and Gene both were there with three of our other brothers. But Gene's going to tell you a little bit anecdotal thing other than this book he's breaking down, something that happened to Gene where that part. Go ahead, Gene. Tell the people about how wonderful the police treated you there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You talk about our enemies. Those were definitely our enemies that day, the police department and the Virginia Highway Patrol. So when the criminal governor from the Clinton Crime Syndicate, Terry McAuliffe, sent down the word, I'm sure he was flying around in that helicopter, and that's the only bad that was the bad thing about that helicopter crashing and killing those two highway patrolmen. If it had crashed about 20 minutes earlier, it had gotten Terry McAuliffe, so we'd been rid of that communist traitor.
Yeah.
But anyway,
fool.
So when they sent down the word, the Commonwealth of Virginia has declared a state of emergency, and then they got on their bullhorns and started making announcements. Has declared a state of emergency. You have 2 minutes to clear the park. And so the police then put on their Darth Vader helmets and their shields and their body armor and all that garbage and started moving through the park in this wall like the Romans did with all their shields and everything in the battle phalanx or whatever, and pushing people out. And so I saw one of the highway patrolmen. I said, listen, sir, if you'll get us out of here, we're ready to go. Just open up a way for us to get out of here, because there wasn't any way open to get out of there. And he goes, shut the F up unless you want to go to jail, and kept pushing us out. And I thought, well, golly, this is somebody that's supposed to protect people and, protect and serve and all that garbage we hear about the cops. And this a-hole was... Well, basically, as part of Antifa, he was doing their job.
Yes.
He was pushing us out of the park and off that wall and down into that mob on the street where they could get at us. And that's what the Virginia Highway Patrol and the Charlottesville police finally did. When they did something, for the first hour or so, they're just standing around with their thumbs stuck up their rear end. And we were getting bombarded, like they said, with bricks and glass bottles full of nails and screws and bags of feces, and sprayed with pepper spray, and that crazy black guy running out there with that homemade flamethrower. So we had to endure that on our own. You know, cops didn't do anything until they wanted us pushed out of there and right smack dab into that mob down there I forgot if it's Market Street or Main Street, but anyway, one of the main streets coming right through that part of Charlottesville. So, yeah, we got pushed out of there then. And going back to talking about why Jason and Richard Spencer and Jason Kessler and the rest of them had this, they were talking about the attitude toward us. And he said that the whites were blamed for all sorts of sin that were so great that all whites would have to pay for things that they hadn't done and it occurred before we were even born. He said none of the Africans who slaved other Africans were responsible for their deeds, nor the Jews who operated the transatlantic slave trade, nor the Chinese who enslaved people to build the Great Wall, nor the Muslims who enslaved Africans and Europeans nor the natives who used labor to build their great temples where they sacrificed countless numbers of their own people. It went on and on. Yet, through the increasingly popular conspiracy theory of white supremacy, only white people were to blame for these sins of the past. And that's, you know, what it said. So what he's saying, Jason said that, "I was immediately suspect that the attack on Robert E. Lee was an attack on whiteness and that the proud history of the European people in America." So that's why he organized this, to not only defend Lee, but to try to defend our European history as well and what was going on. He said he gave Jason had a conference at City Hall in Charlottesville on July the 11th, 2017, and why they were going to have this event at Lee Park. "We have," he says, and I quote, "we have a serious double standard in this community and across the country where people who are white are not allowed to advocate for their own interest." I pointed out that the people of every other persuasion, homosexual, Muslims, Jewish, black, Hispanic, whatever, are able to advocate for themselves without fear of violence or government repression. There's no one who is protecting white people, and that's absolutely unacceptable. If people really care about diversity, if they really care about the values like equality, you have to be allowed to have white people advocate for their interests. People need to be able to come to America and see a majority European country, because this is the country that that was founded by European Americans. And, of course, they don't want that today. They've changed all of that. So that gives you sort of a background of why he had this event, the alt-right or alternate right, come together from a lot of different groups. And Dr. Michael Hill was there with the League of the South. There were groups from all over the South and all over the country that came there to protest this removal of the Lee statue, and to show that we are tired of being run over by the news media and the criminals that run our government in Washington and the criminals that run our government states, state governments and local governments. And it's no better here in Nashville. You know, we elected a governor, Bill Lee, that promised when he was campaigning he was going to protect our Confederate monuments. And when he got elected, and I was foolish enough to believe this clown and vote for him, and after he got elected, he wasn't in office more than 6 months, and he started doing everything he could to get the statue, the bust of General Nathan Bedford Forrest, removed from the Tennessee State Capitol. And he got it removed. And he claims that he didn't have anything to do with it. But he appointed the Capitol Commission, which has to pass on portraits and statues and things that go in the Capitol or on the Capitol grounds. So he appointed blacks and liberal self-hating whites. And why are we surprised that the vote went the way it did to get the Forrest bust out of the state capitol? And now it's stuck way off in a corner in the state museum. And that was paid for by the Joseph E. Johnston Sons of Confederate Veterans Camp in Nashville. And they asked the state and asked the governor, "If you don't want it in the Capitol, can we get that bust back and put it in the Confederate Museum at the Sons of Confederate Veterans headquarters in Elm Springs in Columbia, Tennessee, the new museum that's built, the Confederate Museum that's been built there by the Sons of Confederate Veterans?" State won't do it. They don't want it out where the majority of people can see it. They want it covered up, hidden, and if it's out at all, then they're going to put their spin on Forrest and tell their lies about him being an evil slave trader and mistreating all the blacks, and the so-called Fort Pillow massacre, which was propaganda, and that he started the Ku Klux Klan, which is another lie that the government and all these so-called historians that we have running around try to perpetuate. So it's not just Charlottesville, and it's not just Virginia, and it's not just the bumbling idiot that was on the clown show Thursday night that they tried to tell us was a debate, and it was just a total debacle of Biden being out there and making an even bigger fool out of himself than we already knew he was. And even the Democrats are running away from him now. That's the funny thing, having all them on the next day, and they're trying to explain how their team got beat in the game last night, 49-0, never got across midfield. So they're trying to cover that one up. But anyway, so this was the one of the most disgusting things that the government of this country has pulled. And I know you had the sailors on from the USS Liberty in the first hour, and that is probably the ultimate in betrayal by the United States government. When they, Lyndon Johnson and the Israelis, agreed to attack that ship and send 294 American sailors to the bottom of the Mediterranean and sink that ship with no survivors. So they could not contradict their story about the Egyptians had attacked it, and now we need to go to war with Egypt on the side of the Israelis. There's been a lot of bad things that the United States government has done, but I would have to classify that as one of the worst.
Yes.
And this thing that they pulled in Charlottesville is right up there in the top 10 with some of the things they've done. So, anyway.
I can't wait to hear the rest of this story, Gene, as soon as we come back this break, brother. Be right back, people.
Okay.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at CSPOA.org. That's CSPOA.org.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Dear Blood River Radio people, family, Gene mentioned the crew of the USS Liberty. Yes, there was 294 men on that crew on the ship. Out of 294, 274 casualties, 34 dead. And the government, they can't even get medical treatment. For all these years, it's taken, for instance, Mo Schaefer 56 years to get any recognition, to get one nickel from the government for his medical care. He's having surgery after surgery after surgery. But anyway, it all ties in together. They hate white people.
It does, Eddie. And that's the whole thing the government has done to us, that why would anybody want to serve in the military of this country? Because they're going to screw you every chance they get. That the boys that were in Vietnam that were sprayed with that Agent Orange and came back to the States, and they came down with cancer, leukemia, all sorts of different types of cancer. And the government kept stalling and saying, no, it didn't do this. We're doing a study on it.
It's in your mind.
Yeah,
PTSD.
Right. And what they were doing, they were stalling until most of these boys had died off. And then they came back and said, well, there may be something to that. And they pitched out a few pennies and nickels to these people that had these horrible types of cancer on them. And, you know, they stalled it because they wanted to have as many of them die as possible so they couldn't file a class action lawsuit against the government to get medical coverage. So, you know, and now it's gotten so bad with all the transgenders they're bringing into the military and this diversity, equity, and inclusion nonsense, like that clown that's head of the Department of Defense, Austin Powers or whatever his name is. You know, none of the branches of the service can fill their recruiting quotas. Who would want to? You know, why would you want to be in a barracks with somebody that's, you know, 2 weeks ago was a woman, now they claim they're a man, or swapping around and stuff like nonsense like that, and just horrible people that you wouldn't want to be with on a dark street, and now they're your bunkmate and, you know, in the barracks with them? Good night. Well, anyway, that's, you know, even some more dirty things that the government has pulled besides this disaster at Charlottesville.
Yes.
Charlottesville, and we've been reviewing this book by Jason Kessler, Charlottesville and the Death of Free Speech. So we talked about what happened on that day in August in Charlottesville, the attack by the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter. I was trying to get it. When I finally got down to the street, I was walking backwards because now the blacks got real brave. And we were being separated, and people were sent down side streets, and the formation had kind of broken up. So the blacks were running off the sidewalk and attacking people from behind. And I was walking backward and used my flagpole as a spear. I nailed a couple of them. So I hope they've had to live the rest of their life on a liquid diet. But anyway, that's my contribution. So they showed, and they, of course, the news media, the lying whores that they are, they played up this story, this poor, 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 innocent young black man that was attacked by these evil white supremacists in the parking garage and attacked and beaten. And he got a GoFundMe account going. And last I heard, and Rich can probably set us straight on this, the amount, I thought it was in over $500,000 to $600,000 that was contributed to this punk. Well, okay, he was attacked. I will say that. But you need to roll the tape backwards about 2-3 minutes. And you could see this thug running off the sidewalk with one of those big mag lights, like a flashlight with about 18 batteries in it. He comes up behind one of our people that was just walking down the street trying to leave, and he clubs this person over the back of the head with that mag light, knocks him down and out for the count. And then, of course, his two buddies went running after this guy that laid this cheap shot on him, and they caught him and beat the living daylights out of him for that cheap shot from behind. But the news media skipped over that part. They just showed the video of these evil two white guys running this guy down, and they didn't show why they were going after him. And we weren't trying to start any fights or anything. We were just trying to get out of there. And then, like I said, the blacks got real brave when we were broken up into small groups, and they could cheap shot people from behind. It's, you know, typical of what they do. And anybody that's played football against an all-black team or mostly black team will tell you that they will cheap shot you just after the whistle has blown on a play. And you hear the whistle and you ease up, and then all of a sudden somebody nails you from behind or comes in and takes your knee out or something like that. Then they go running over back to their huddle, and there are 11 again of them against one of you, and they're going, oh, yeah, you come over here. You want some of this? You come over here and get them a deal. Yeah, so that's what they do, and that's what was going on in Charlottesville when we were trying to get out of there. And a lot of our people were hit from behind or the side or blindsided. They weren't too good when they came face-to-face because we had people armed with sticks and clubs and helmets and shields, because we knew what was going to happen with Antifa there. If anything broke down, if the cops screwed it up, which not only did they screw it up, it was planned to screw it up and turn them the Antifa loose on us. But at Pikeville, at Auburn University, out at Berkeley, all the protests or the demonstrations or the requests by white, conservative, Trump people, they have been under attack all across this country, not just Charlottesville, Pikeville, Kentucky, Auburn, Alabama, anywhere that white, conservative people try to get out and advocate our rights, then the government allows these thugs to come and attack us. And it shows you how corrupt our government really is, that they only want their version of history, their version of what is correct politically, and what groups are protected under the government. If you don't agree with them, then you're open to attack, and you're open to be, you know, literally physically attacked and wind up being hospitalized after that. So the closing part of this debacle at Charlottesville was none of these thugs that attacked our people was ever arrested, ever brought to trial, ever had ever gone to court. The only people that were arrested and put in and sent to trial were, number one, the young man that had his car attacked and was trying to get out of there. I heard in the book I read, he's serving a 400-year sentence for that.
So I've heard.
Not 40, 400 years for trying to get away from that mob. And Richard Spencer, Jason Kessler, a lot of these other people that organized this were brought to trial because the idiots in our government claimed that all of this violence that was brought down upon us was somehow their fault, because they organized this event and were responsible there. When the police and the Jew mayor and the highway patrol and the criminal governor of Virginia all conspired to turn their stormtroopers, I guess you could call them that, the Antifa and the Black Lives Matter, they conspired to turn their thugs loose on a group that disagreed with them. So all of that, we couldn't save the Lee Monument. It's been torn down. They've cut it up into pieces, melted it down, and they're going to make, last I heard, they're making some kind of medallions for some black organization there, I guess, where they teach them how to go out and rob convenience stores or something like that, whatever they do. And the Lee statue's gone. Yep, just rub it in your face. And
their face.
Another Jason Beauchiers, that is the commander-in-chief of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, called up there and asked him. They said, look, if you don't want the statue, the Sons of Confederate Veterans will take it. We'll help pay for getting it moved out of there, and we will put it at our Confederate Museum in Columbia, Tennessee. They told him, and I talked to Jason Beauchiers, not Jason Kessler about this, but Jason Beauchiers, and he said they told him right to his face, we don't want it seen anywhere.
Damn.
So not only did they want to get it out of Lee Park, and I think they call it Emancipation Park now, some garbage like
that. Almighty.
Yeah, they not only did they want to move it out of there because it offended people and it upset the little wokey twits at University of Virginia, which, you know, I hope they lose every football game they ever play. You know, it upsets them and their black athletes. They didn't even want it on display somewhere several hundred miles away from Charlottesville. So that's how petty and how vicious these people are that we're going up against. And I hope our listeners will understand that and talk to their friends and convince these people to go out and vote this November. We need a huge, huge turnout, because you know the communist Democrats are going to do everything they can to steal this election. And if it's close, the drooling idiot in the White House will be back in there. So we have to overwhelm the vote that's going to come out of these cities. That the cities, the precinct directors and the vote counters and the people that are running the elections in these cities are blacks or they're white liberals. They will not allow
queers,
conservative Republicans, to go in there and see that it's a fair election. They run them out. They did in Philadelphia. They've done it in Atlanta. So we need an overwhelming vote from the countryside to offset the garbage that's in our cities today.
Peter Renner, you've done one hell of a job. You always do. We've run completely out of time. I know you can hear the music. God bless you. Thank you so much for doing that presentation, Peter Renner. And I'm looking forward to having you back on again next week. And thank you so much for coming in. Thank you, Miss Lizzie. Thank you, Blood River Radio family, for tuning in. And God willing, we'll see you same time, same place next week. It's going to be up in July. We surely will be. It'll be the 4th of July weekend, I guess. So good night, everybody.